We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog. Struggling dogs. Talking about every kind of dog. Good dogs, bad dogs. Especially the sad dogs. Dog, 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 dog. Reward your dog.
Welcome to the Reward Your Dog podcast. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Verena.
We understand what it's like living with dogs who struggle.
And we are here to give you tools and ideas to help you and your dog live an awesome life.
Awesome.
You're talking about dogs.
Dogs.
Dogs. Dogs.
D-O-G. Dogs.
Dogs. Dogs. Dogs. Dogs. Dogs. Dogs.
D-O-G. Dogs.
Yeah, we're talking about dogs, everybody. Hi.
Okay, that was silly.
I got to put this guitar down. You can tell the people what the podcast is all about.
Sure, you go ahead and do that. So today we're going to talk about what does your dog dig? And we're going to address the buzzword of enrichment.
Whoa.
But before then.
Yeah, before that, how you been doing?
Well, it is 10:39 p.m.
As you may have heard.
Which is...
by the silliness of our intro.
Kind of late.
Yeah, well, we just wanted to knock one out before we go to Greece, everybody.
Yeah.
That's the country, not the ingredient. We're trying to put together, stack the deck a little bit so that podcasts will just continue to roll out, whether we're there or not.
Yeah.
We're automated.
That's the hope, anyway. We're leaving on Monday. It's just a scant few days away. And we have way too many boarding dogs.
Yeah, and boy, do we have a lot of stuff to do before we can walk out that door.
Yeah, I just got a little worried about money. So I'm like, give me all the boarding dogs. And now we have too many.
You're like, quick, let's do a podcast and let all that big podcast money roll in.
That's always the dream. Well, speaking of animals, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. You want to do an animal check-in?
Let's do it.
Animal check-in, go.
I think you should go.
Okay, yeah, so some of the dogs are a little stressed by one of our boarding dogs. We're having a boarding dog, and she's having a little bit of trouble settling, it must be said.
Yeah, it's not uncommon for us to see that dogs that come in have a really hard time the first couple of days, especially if they haven't been away from home.
It feels like this one is... Mm-hmm. Is struggling with the away from home thing quite a bit.
Yeah, so...
There's a lot of where's mom.
And, this is not a quick tip section, but if you want to do boarding, doing overnight trials is a really good idea, turns out, for everybody.
Yeah.
But often, just kind of building up that familiarity, like having somebody come over for a day camp, then letting them stay the night, not a bad idea. I did host this dog for day camp and she did okay, but I think when mom truly left, she kind of figured that out and that was hard.
Yeah, and our dogs have had a lot of experience of boarders coming on.
They have.
So they're really good about, just sort of not freaking out about the new unknown dog in the house. They're, of course, curious and want to get to know the dog and stuff, but they're also a little bit over it. So if the dog isn't a good fit, they're sort of like rolling their eyes and going off to their corners, just trying to get away from it all. And this poor dog has a lot of nervous energy. So our boys and girls are just feeling a little put upon today.
Yeah.
I think that's the reality of the animal check-in from my perspective.
It is a little bit. I definitely observed the boarding dog trying to play with our cat and being fully convinced that the cat is playing back when the cat was not doing that.
Cat is not playing.
No, so I had to intervene and kind of go like, okay, let's go over here and let's let kitty go through. So I suspect that Parzival the kitty will choose his elevated bed in my closet over certain other spots.
We make it seem like it's nothing but a total joy to have dogs around, but sometimes it can be a little bit of work.
It can be a little bit of work, and that's why people pay me money.
Yes.
And that is okay. Iggy's a little annoyed. She's kind of like, don't even mess with mom when the dog jumps on me.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's kind of calming down a little bit.
Yeah, it seems like we're moving towards a more stable situation.
Yeah, I bet tomorrow's going to look a lot better.
As it often does.
Well, but that's why we're recording super late, because it's been a day.
It's been a day, folks. That was quite an animal check-in. That was like a you and me check-in to go with it.
I know, we're like, whew, got to vent a little.
okay, well, cool. Good animal check-in. What are we going to talk about today?
We already said that.
Oh, that's right.
We're talking about what does your dog dig in Richmond? So it's such a buzzword. Let's dive into it, I would say.
Okay, cool. Enrichment.
Have you ever heard of that, Jesse?
It has crossed through my transom, yeah.
It has. How would you define it?
Well, bearing in mind that I'm probably the least qualified of the two people in this room to define it, I'm still going to take a crack at it. I would say it is, I'm going to speak plebeian, if I may.
Please do.
It is giving dogs things that they enjoy to do.
Yeah, I think on some level it is that. It's also a whole host of other stuff.
Okay, see?
But that's something. So basically, enrichment is something that makes the dog's life worth living.
Whoa, okay.
Well,
I mean, you're not wrong. I see what you're saying, but...
Yeah, so enrichment is actually... So Dave, we're going to talk about an area of enrichment. But mm-hmm. if you want to really take a wide lens approach, and in my shout out, I'm going to talk to you about somebody who does. Enrichment is health. It is feelings of safety. It's the bond to the owner. Mm-hmm. It's training. So enrichment is basically everything that fills the dog's cup.
Right.
If you want to look at it that way.
Okay, now I'm convinced. Enrichment makes life worth living.
Right?
Okay.
So enrichment for me would be having breakfast on time with the stuff that makes me feel good, that also tastes good, right? Because it has all these elements of it. It nourishes me, it makes me healthy, it helps my mental health, and it tastes good.
Right.
So it's actually having breakfast can be an enriching experience.
I love breakfast. I wake up thinking about it.
Which
and
is
not just I'm hungry. It's I think a lot of people feel that way, I hope.
Jesse's it's like really into treat. His trail mix, everybody.
Yeah, I got a whole system. I'll talk to you about that later on the Jesse's Breakfast podcast.
That sounds great. Well, for now, let's stick with the dog thing.
Okay.
So dogs are not people, though I do think dogs can feel quite enriched by breakfast also.
Sure.
Depending on the dog. But we're going to talk about dogs' activities. So we're going to take a slightly more narrow focus, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to talk about health stuff. We're not going to talk about bonding and attachment and feelings of safety. We're going to do that in the next podcast, actually.
Okay, right. But we're going to get back to my... doing things that dogs think are fun.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of give the overview.
Okay,
a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah. So when it comes to doing things that are fun, sometimes the dog's idea of fun and the human idea of fun are different. Who would have thought?
I hate digging holes.
It's true. You do not enjoy it that much. But
honestly, it can be kind of fun. But anyway, go on.
Often, so basically dogs have certain core needs.
Mm-hmm.
And that the things I'm going to list is not something that all dogs always have, right? So dogs have different breeds, different personalities, they're at different life stages. So they might find something more enticing when they're younger versus older.
For sure, yeah.
They might need more of one thing when they're older versus younger mm-hmm. Or middle-aged. So, but in short, dogs want to do things like chewing, right? Dogs constantly chew on things. They like to tear things up.
Yes.
Dogs love to dig. Dogs love to scavenge.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs love to chase and run around.
Yeah, they do.
And generally moving the body mm-hmm. can be very enriching things. Dogs also are, for the most part, really social creatures.
Yeah.
I mean, sociability always comes on a spectrum, right? But dogs want to be social. In certain ways. And dogs really also need to rest.
Right.
Those are some basic core needs that dogs have. And while we often enjoy the idea of resting for our dog,
mm-hmm.
other things may not be as convenient for us, right? So if our dog,
right.
if our dog really loves to dig and we have a garden that we love to make pretty, that can really clash.
Sure.
So sometimes those canine core needs and our human needs may not actually converge.
Yeah, almost every one of those dog behaviors that you listed can be a pain in the wrong context.
Mm-hmm. Well, because they are core needs, when we don't give our dog outlets, they're going to try and meet those needs in ways that we may not like.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might feel really bummed out that they don't get to do it.
Right.
Right. So enrichment is basically something that allows our dogs to feel good, that allows them to get their happy brain chemicals going, and that helps them live a more fulfilled life.
Yeah.
So it's super, super, super important in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. It's a dog that just stays in an apartment all the time, waiting for its master to come home with no chews and no social interaction, no opportunity to go outside, no new sniffs to sniff, et cetera, et cetera. It's basically solitary confinement almost.
Yeah, that's a pretty extreme example that you're making. I think most dogs get a little bit more than that.
Sure, and of course, master comes home at the end of the day and all that, but...
I prefer the term dog guardian.
Yeah, well, I'm defaulting to a older paradigm. Anyway, of course, it is not quite as extreme as that in most cases, but I'm going extreme to sort of make an example here that dogs have needs.
They right? absolutely
and
do.
Those needs don't always easily fit into human lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go too deep on this now because we have another amazing podcast lined up, but a lot of those canine core needs come from the dog being a hunter,
mm-hmm.
being a predator.
Right. And we don't have a lot of opportunity to do that day to day.
That's right. So I want to segue into kind of the different aspects that may influence your dog's needs.
Okay.
First of all, the best individual to ask about your dog's needs is not a trainer. It's not the internet. It's not your friends and family. It is the dog, right? So dogs have individual personalities. So when we talk about this enrichment thing, often people say, well, I enriched my dog by giving my dog a lick mat.
Mm-hmm.
But what they actually did was give the dog a lick mat.
Right.
The question of whether the dog was enriched or not is something only the dog can answer, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we want to check whether that was enriching for the dog, what would you look at?
Well, we're not going to ask them to use their words.
Correct. generally not.
So, I mean, I guess...
So, I mean, some dogs have these fancy buttons, which is super cool.
Yeah, we should think about trying that. The thing about... that strikes me is that you're looking at their body language, generally.
Sure.
Could also be, you know, like vocalizations mm-hmm. or whatever, to see if they are relaxed and happy.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So... the contrast between before and after of this activity mm-hmm. is probably your best clue as to whether the activity, you know, filled their cup, as you say.
Yeah, that's potentially one thing that we can look at, right? Does our dog look stressed? Do we have panting? Do we have, you know, facial tension, right? That wrinkled brow that we talked about and all stuff.
Yeah, but I guess I was thinking more like, is my dog depressed?
Mm-hmm.
Followed by, does my dog now look, you know, well? And fulfilled.
Yep.
And those are, you know, like we've talked about in dog body language, how some of those clues that let you know if the dog is, how the dog is doing.
Yeah, I would say so. I would go even broader.
Okay.
I would say usually we should look at the dog's behavior, right? So if our dog is constantly chewing the rug, but then we're giving them chews and suddenly they're not chewing the rug anymore.
Right.
We know that we've satisfied that need. This is a super simplistic example, but let's say you have a dog that's really restless at night.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very common thing. It's pretty common in adolescents, and I'm not as worried about it in an adolescent dog, but if that's something that persists, or if it's maybe excessive and goes on for longer than half an hour or so,
mm-hmm.
Then that dog may not have... I mean, one potential explanation could also be pain stuff, which we're not talking about today. So I'm not saying it's always an enrichment problem and that happens. So let's not be too overly general. But let's say you're saying, okay, my dog is doing this weird panting thing at night. Then you can kind of consider, what does my dog actually need during the day so that they no longer have to kind of get their brain chemicals going by pacing and panting at night?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in general, what we're looking for with enrichment is a behavior change.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
So we don't want to say, here, I'm giving you enrichment. We want to say, is this activity filling your cup so that we're no longer seeing the problem behavior?
Well, okay. That seems to me like it's coming from a perspective of we have a problem, therefore we enrich.
Or we're trying to prevent a problem from occurring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or we're trying to, I mean, some dogs don't tell us that there's a problem, right? So
yeah.
For one of our dogs, Ozzy, when he is not feeling well, he doesn't get obnoxious. he gets quiet and withdrawn. So it's really easy to miss, right? So what I sometimes look for him, I'm like, oh, he's in the bedroom too much. Maybe I need to take him out a little bit more to get some more endorphins going for him.
Yeah, Ozzy's one of those dogs that he's not going to, you know, tear down the walls when he's not happy. He, in fact, becomes easier to live with on some level.
On some level, you know what I mean? Yeah,
like,
sadly.
He's quiet. He's out of sight. He's the perfect dog in a certain lens, right? But he's not happy.
That's right. So behavior, it's not just the nuisance behaviors we need to look at. I think that's a really important point.
Yeah.
In a future episode, we'll talk about behavior logging, so I'll refer you to that one. But basically, get a really good idea of what your dog looks like when they're behaviorally healthy. That's a tall order. We don't always know what that looks like, especially if our dog is experiencing pain, if they live in a situation that's not ideal for them, right? So, but try your best to kind of go like, this is what my dog looks like when they're at their best.
Yeah. I mean, my mind goes back to Ozzy again because, you know, he really struggled early in life.
Yes, certainly did.
In a way, like, we didn't realize the potential of his baseline until we got him, you know, meds that are helping him. And we sort of figure out ways to give him enrichment that he needs. And so I think that now we expect a level of sort of apparent joy in him that previously was unimaginable.
Yeah, that's certainly the case.
So,
and that's why health and mental health is a part of enrichment.
Right, right.
Right, but, absolutely. But to continue talking about Ozzy, if Ozzy starts chasing the cat when the cat jumps off things, then I know that there's something missing for him.
Right.
That's a clear behavior. Or when he is not coming out when we're watching TV at night, when he's not coming on the sofa with us, I know something's off.
Yeah.
So those are behaviors I keep an eye on. I don't track all of his whereabouts and movements. And the third one I often track is he eating breakfast?
Yeah.
So those are my three.
For that.
Those are my three ones that I keep an eye on. And if they're off, I know that his enrichment plan isn't right. I need to play around with that.
Yeah. Play around being the operative term in some cases.
In some
right?
cases, yeah. He's not a big toy guy, but for some dogs, adding toy play is super enriching.
No, but there are times when he enjoys just sort of when you jump around with him and do a little bit of chase and
personal
let him chase
play.
You and stuff like that, right? That,
yeah.
Or a little face fighting with the hand or something like that.
He does enjoy that very much.
When he's in a good,
Absolutely. Just to bring that back around, we could talk about Ozzy all night, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'd love to.
And and in another episode, we may tell a story because it's an interesting one.
Yeah.
But not tonight. So in other words, your dog is the one who's going to tell you whether your enrichment is working, and you can figure that out by observing their behavior.
Right.
Right. But there are a few clues you can take from, for example, their age. So often younger dogs, really young dogs, are super social for the most part, and they often have a huge need to rest. So puppies need to sleep like 20 hours a day. It's kind of, they just sleep and then they poop and then they pee and then they sleep and then they face bite something. Well, I guess where else would you bite, but you know, bite things and then they go back to sleep and then they bite again and then they pee again. So it's an endless cycle, I guess. Somewhere in there they eat. That changes in adolescence. Actually, often social needs become bigger, but that's often a time when dogs have like poor social manners, so they become more isolated from other dogs. So we often have a lot of frustration around social contact.
Right. They become awkward little brothers and sisters and stuff like that.
Or they're single dogs. Maybe they haven't been neutered yet. And then suddenly we have a dog that's like isolated from their peers, climbing up the walls because they just want to play. And then we see that leash reactivity kicking in, for example. And I have seen that resolve if the dog gets play dates.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not always that you need to do a bunch of training. Sometimes you just have to adjust the baseline for the dog. And then older dogs often get, so dogs hit their maturity. It depends on the breed, sometime between 2 and 5 years, depending on breed. Often around 3 years is the number we can say. And that is when dogs begin becoming much less social.
Yeah.
You probably remember Ozzy again. I guess we're just talking about him. When he had about 2.5 years, he just did not want to meet all the dogs anymore.
And yeah, and that was a marked change.
Really big change. He was like the most social, roll on the back appeasement, huge leaps when seeing another dog kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And that stopped.
Yeah.
Huge behavior change. And that wasn't because something was wrong with him. It was just because he matured.
Yeah, and he'll still meet a new dog and find that he likes that dog on occasion, but he's very selective now.
Very selective in a way that really shocked me. I thought he'd stay social forever.
Yeah.
He did not. Adult dogs sleep the least out of all dogs. So young dogs need the most sleep, and senior dogs also need more sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then in general, senior dogs are often like, they like their little group, but they don't need to meet like tons of new dogs again for the most part, right? And maybe, you know, often pains and aches play a role too.
Of course.
But it might be that for them, you know, a good chew is more valuable than a huge chase.
Right.
So over time, as the dog goes through their life, their needs for enrichment may change.
And the type of enrichment that Absolutely. They most enjoy.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes you might try, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but you might try something when the dog is young and you're like, yep, that's just not for them. And then you try it again when they're like a year later and you're like, wow, now you're super into this.
Mm. Yeah, like a snifter of brandy and a fine cigar.
Is that your enrichment?
Well, I mean, I'm not quite to that age, but I presume at some point that'll be me.
Jesse's the guy who always orders 4 cognacs on stage when we're playing with our little band.
And never gets them.
Never. You know, once.
Twice.
Twice. Yeah. You've been keeping count.
It's the what do they call it? The unreliable reward schedule, something, something.
Intermittent.
Yes. Yeah. That's why I keep doing it, just because it's worked.
I remember at KDO's.
Yeah.
Anyway, good times. We're actually still punk rockers in our hearts, but not always in our other lives.
Not always in our bedtimes,
for sure. The other aspect that can really influence enrichment is breeds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, again, we'll talk a little bit more about predatory stuff later, but different breeds have been selected for different behaviors. Right? So, for example, shepherds, as the name says, have been selected to herd things around. So they really like to, like, intensely look at stuff and then chase it and then overneck bite it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a good shepherd is supposed to do, right?
Right. They like to bully other creatures around into going places mm-hmm. and not going other places.
Ask us how we know.
Yeah.
Whereas huskies often really enjoy what we call crittering. So going after critters. And huskies, for example, they're social. They mm-hmm. love their people. But when it's sometimes between people and the environment and the distraction that offers, that's way more valuable to them.
Yeah.
Whereas for a shepherd who has been bred to work super closely together with people and listen to them, it's not as important to kind of go out in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And if they are out in the world, they're like, sure, I'll come back to you and talk to you. And that's not that the husky is defective or worse.
Right.
It's just that the husky has a different genetic background.
For sure. And some dogs want to chase tennis balls because that closely models something that they've been bred to do.
Like Labradors,
right? Mm-hmm. Gun dogs in general have to go out and get that bird out of a lake and swim back to you with it.
Yep.
And we've given them, you know, pretty much a perfect substitute in the thrown tennis ball, which is why some labs are deeply into that.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
other dogs, you throw the ball and they just look at it and go like, what? Okay, fine.
Yeah, what do you want from me? Yeah.
There goes the ball. I see it.
Yeah, and then, I mean, breeds are always, sometimes we get too obsessed with breeds too, and mm-hmm. we forget that the breed is still a bell curve, right?
Right.
So when you think about Labradors as generally liking chasing balls, you will have your outlier Labrador who does not care in any way, shape, or form about a ball. And then you have your other outlier Labrador who's like super, super, super ball obsessed and cannot function when the ball is around. And then you have anything in the middle too, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a bell curve. It's just moved a little bit towards the ball.
Right. Excitement. It's a ball curve.
It's a
if you will.
Ba-dum-cha. Good job, Jesse. So keep in mind how old your dog is, where they are in their maturity, kind of what you know, breed they are, those are all things that can influence the dog. And what your dog's health status is.
Sure.
Can also really influence enrichment, right? If your dog has ouchy teeth, they probably don't want to chew as much. So licking might be a more enriching activity for them. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of my little precursor talk to the actionables.
Okay.
Do you feel like we've set the scene appropriately?
I think people know what we're talking about when we talk about enrichment.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got one more concept framework for you, and then we'll dive in. But I promise it's worth it.
Hit me.
So I'm going to talk about the four quadrants of enrichment. Sounds vaguely ominous, no?
Okay, yeah, there's some other four quadrant thing out there, as I recall.
And we shall talk about it, but not tonight.
But not tonight.
Too late for that.
That's what they call foreshadowing, everybody.
Ooh, it's like, it's ominous.
Yeah.
It's like an Edgar Allan Poe vibe here.
Okay.
Hopefully not that bad. Now I'm thinking about The Fall of the House of Usher, which is excellent, and you should all watch it. But yeah, it's also scary a little bit.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
Anyway, Liz Radar.
You're welcome, whoever made that show.
Yeah.
Netflix? It's
on Netflix.
Yeah.
No, it's good. Anyway, so that was enriching for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Liz Radar came up with the four quadrants of enrichment.
Okay.
And it's really just talking about enrichment as physical versus mental.
That's an axis.
Mm-hmm.
Or excess.
And then high versus low intensity.
Okay.
So we have high intensity physical,
mm-hmm.
low intensity physical, high intensity mental, and low intensity mental. So we've got all
Easy.
Four.
Yep.
Yep. So every dog needs a unique combination of all four quadrants
mm-hmm.
of enrichment. And again, this is just a simplification. We humans do well when we think in categories, right? So life can be more complicated.
So you're saying that every dog needs each of those four quadrants in some proportion?
Most likely. I mean, depending on, there might be extreme health needs
uh-huh.
or health issues or
right. extreme physical
really
might
young,
not be for every dog.
Yeah. So, they're four quadrants, but really they're dials.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We can slide. We can have a medium intensity activity as well. Right? So it's just nice and easy and clean to have those four squares. But in life, nothing's that clean cut. That aside, let's do a little brainstorming together.
Okay.
What do you think are some high energy physical things that your dog could do?
Running.
Yep.
Tugging.
Mm-hmm.
Digging.
Yeah, that can get really physical.
Yeah,
we've seen that.
I'm trying to, running is such a big part of so many other things. I'm trying not to say it in different ways.
That's okay. I mean, I feel like zooming through the woods, going after a ball,
uh-huh,
right?
Uh-huh.
That high energy toy play stuff.
Right,
like
wrestling
floor pole.
Or high intensity play.
Yeah, high intensity play, absolutely. So everything that gets kind of the blood pumping and the
mm-hmm.
heart going.
Mm-hmm.
And for some dogs, especially adolescent dogs, moving the body in this way is really helps them settle and rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it can also help them be more socially appropriate.
Yeah, that's why there's recess.
They might not jump as much on people
right.
if they get, a certain amount of exercise. And that amount of exercise can vary from
right.
dog to dog. We've talked about Dio a lot. Our good friend Chris, or Spiz, as we call him, understands that as a young husky, Dio needs to run about four times a week for about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then he sees him able to settle and chill out. And now that he's actually aging, that number is starting to drop just a little bit.
Right. I still think he takes him out every single
yes.
day.
Yes, he's an excellent pet parent.
Yeah.
He gets ball time in the morning and then he goes on a hike in the afternoon.
But yeah, the point is Dio is a young husky and he's got to go, go, go.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, huskies are bred to pull sleds, right? So fair enough. But that would be examples of high energy physical exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Lower energy physical exercise is a little bit different. One example I could think of is a long line sniff.
Mm-hmm.
Like we're putting the dog on a 15 or 20 foot leash, and then we're just going to a quiet park and they can sniff around and
right.
Smells.
More conventionally, maybe being walked.
Sure.
In
a relaxed leash
walk. On a leash, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would also say that when it comes to play with another dog, we could think about low energy versions of that too. Sometimes when I call it tiny tug, when the dogs take like a small object and then they kind of sort of gently wrestle around with it, that's not a high energy play. They're not moving a lot, right?
Right.
Or a little bit of face biting.
Yeah, sometimes our dogs will just be conked out together on the couch or bed or whatever. And if they start getting frisky, they might just start like, you know, mouth playing.
Yeah.
But neither one of them's trying to get up.
Yep. Absolutely. So that those would be examples of low energy physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think when I take dogs out, I see some dogs naturally gravitating towards, I'm just moseying and sniffing, and they're kind of keeping pace with me. And then other dogs just want to run circles around me.
Yep, for sure.
And then some dogs start out running the circles and then they settle into their groove, right? So it's, you know, they fill their cup and then they do something else.
Right.
And then when we think about mental exercise, of course, you have high energy stuff too. So mental exercise, what I'm referring to is basically problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
When your dog is solving some kind of, well, puzzle in the greater sense of the world. What would be a few examples of that?
The like hunting
mm-hmm.
behavior of like sniffing around in bushes, trying to air scent,
mm-hmm.
looking for prey, that kind of thing, that can be extremely engaging and high energy in that sense.
Totally. Like nose work almost falls under that same category, mm-hmm. which is what I was going to say. Other things are like trick training, you know, teaching your dog to do a thing. If you use, for example, a clicker or a marker, you might use a process called shaping,
mm-hmm.
right? Starting at what your dog can offer you and then marking them when they're doing a little bit more of that until you get the fullest expression. Your dog has to work really hard in their mind to figure out what you want.
What is it I did that just made that click
uh-huh.
happen?
Yeah.
How do I do it again? Yeah, that can be very exhausting for them.
Mm-hmm. And food puzzles can also fall into this category,
mm-hmm.
right? There are a bunch of kind of hard ways to hide food. Some of them you can buy commercially. Others you can make yourself using, you know, trash, which mm-hmm. is what I like to do. And it's important with those food puzzles that your dog is not proficient at them.
Mm.
If your dog does them every day, they're going to be like, boom, 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 done.
Right.
That's not super enriching anymore, right? So, you know, if you get one of those fancy, lovely, I think Nina Ottison is the brand, puzzles, and then your dog does it a fourth time, they might go like, okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
I know how this works. I'm good. So keeping those fresh by rotating them, for example, you'll get more bang for your buck.
I was going to ask if something like, you know, so one thing, I'm sure we've talked about this, that we often do is take a small cardboard box and fill it with various, you know,
mm-hmm.
Pieces of newspaper or whatever and hide treats in it. And so the dog has to like snuffle through and like maybe tear it apart
yep.
to get in.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to me that that's sort of in the physical realm, sort of in the mental realm.
Right? Yeah. Again, the quadrants are an artificial construct. And I do think that in enrichment activities can fall under several quadrants. And
right.
I think the snuffle box, which we'll talk about more later, is that thing for sure. So our last category is low energy mental exercise. And a lot of the things I came up with were food related too.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be things like licking a lick mat, chewing a bully stick, even sniffing a blade of grass.
Yeah, I was going to say sort of unique but not particularly intense experiences,
mm-hmm.
right? Like
yeah.
So maybe taking a walk along a different route where
yes.
there's some different sniffs to sniff
mm-hmm.
or seeing some new people in the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, or maybe watching some birds outside through the window or something like that, you know.
Totally.
Things where your dog doesn't get like riled, but are clearly like interesting to the dog.
Yeah, novel experiences,
novel experiences
is actually nice.
Right?
And that can be high energy mental.
Oh, yeah,
right?
For sure.
If you take your dog to the food carts, if they can do that without stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially a herding dog like ours, and then she can like watch everybody walking around and track everyone's movement and really get like a fill of that. Sometimes that makes her way more tired than when I hike with her 3 miles.
Yeah.
which is cool.
It's a lot easier to take your dog to the brew pub than it is to...
Well, it depends on the dog, let me tell you.
Excuse me.
But yes, in her case, it is. I was actually thinking about this today when I was with a client, because my dogs are so different that it takes more to enrich the one versus the other. Because my German Shepherd wants to be with me, and she relies on me to provide enrichment for her.
Mm-hmm.
If I put her outside in the yard, like, she's not going to do as much exciting stuff out there. But if I put Ozzy out in the yard, or if I take him hiking, he'll be, like, busy the whole time. Whereas Iggy will be like, so what are we doing together now? Right. And Ozzy's like, I'm good. Just let me know when we're going, okay? So it's a lot more pressure on me sometimes to work with a dog that really wants to work with me. Because I have to provide all those ideas. Well, you ready to get into a couple of practical tips?
Yeah, for sure. We've talked a lot about why enrichment's important and what it is.
Mm-hmm. How to know if it's working.
But maybe you could talk about some things that will enrich our dog now.
Yes, I love it. And these are just tips and ideas. Whenever you're introducing a new enrichment activity to your dog, I recommend not making it too hard, especially if your dog is a little bit nervous or anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're trying to give your dog a food puzzle and it's treats in a paper bag.
You know, I read somewhere the definition of fun that is used by things like, you know, game designers and stuff like that is that you do something that is challenging, but that you learn at and increase in competence at a pace that is neither too fast nor too slow.
Well, and that is individual again.
Of course, it's totally like individual.
Some people and dogs, of course, like a hard puzzle. They like to kind of bang their head against the wall, figuratively speaking. Mm-hmm. Of course, we don't want to see dogs banging their heads into walls. Not at all. But some dogs have that tolerance for frustration. They kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, that's why there's 3,000-piece jigsaw puzzles that are just one color.
Yeah.
Right? And that is not for everybody, but some people completely thrive on it.
No, someday we'll talk about a dog assessment system called Carrot, but not today. There it would be classified as persistence. And you can have visual persistence or kinesthetic persistence. So very interesting. The level of challenge will depend on your dog. If you have a shy rescue who just arrived, they might enjoy a gentler activity versus your, you know, high drive, high octane sports dog who has been made to just have at it, right?
Yeah.
And then again, personality, genetic makeup, all that makes a difference too. I basically want to think about food-based enrichment ideas first because they're easy. We can usually put them together. You have a couple you really like.
Yeah, so we talked about Snufflebox a little bit already.
Mm-hmm. Cardboard box, dog-safe recycling, and treats. Put them together and have a great time.
You know what's pretty good for dog-safe recycling is junk mail.
Yes, it's perfect. milk cartons or half-and-half cartons in your case.
Yeah. If you take
yogurt containers,
take one of those like milk cartons or half and half cartons, the cardboard kind that you can open up, you know, by unfolding the top.
Yep.
You can just put a few treats back in them, close them up. They rattle around nicely. They're fun to tear apart. I suppose they're got some wax on them, but they're food safe, right? I'm pretty sure a dog's not gonna poison themselves with it or anything like that.
So far, so good. It's been good. Egg cartons.
Egg cartons are great. They kind of do the same thing. The other thing I was going to say is frozen, like lick bowls or...
Yep, licking activities, right?
Lick mats.
What we just talked about
puzzle
was...
Puzzle feeders full of frozen stuff.
Scavenging stuff. And now we can talk about that licking piece. Dogs really enjoy that.
Yep.
Frozen food is great. Not every dog likes frozen food.
Yep.
Which makes sense to me because I have sensitive teeth, which I'm sure some dogs do. And for me, with cold stuff, I have to be careful. It can really hurt me. So I'm sure dogs can have that too.
Right. But it, of course, it doesn't have to be frozen.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a lick mat with just some peanut butter or some wet dog food or whatever on it.
Mm-hmm.
Frozen has the merit of going for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got that puppy who happens to like it and needs to have something to do for the next 20 minutes, that can be a real boon, and it's a lot cheaper than buying a bully stick or whatever.
So much cheaper. Yeah, you can snuffle towels.
Snuffle towels. Right. Same vibe as the snuffle box, except you just roll things up in a towel.
Mm-hmm. Or two towels, and you can even put a knot in it if you want to get crazy, but you might have to start with one towel, and you know the first few treats are uncovered. Right.
That progression is pretty easy with the towel. You can just put the towel over the treats or you know, fold it in half with some treats in the middle, and you can go from there.
Mm-hmm. If you want to throw money at it, maze feeders, you already said that, right? Food puzzles, we already talked about. Snuffle mats,
just what I was going to say.
You can also use nature snuffle mat. Do you know what that is?
The grass. Yep.
If you have such a thing, we don't have that. Our dogs destroyed the yard, and our yard honestly doesn't get a lot of sun. But
well, the backyard, the dirt pile also works.
The dirt pile.
But that's not a good thing to have in the house.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, that also goes to, that kind of dovetails into nose work.
Sure, absolutely. A lot of this is nose work.
Yeah, which could be sort of going around and hiding treats in specific places with the idea of them, you know, getting better and better at sniffing these treats out in difficult spots.
Mm-hmm.
It could also be take a handful of dog food and throw it across your dining room and let them go to all the corners and find it.
Yes, absolutely.
Right, those are super essentially enriching. The same thing, just in kind of different formats.
Mm-hmm.
And that's gratifying. Dogs enjoy it.
Super gratifying. I kind of cut you off, but you were talking about chews, right? Bully sticks.
Right. Chews,
beef knuckles.
Are a classic.
You know, dental chews. Obviously, check with your veterinarian what kind of hardness is appropriate for your dog. And, you know, make sure that that's all about board.
Like, as long as we're being conscientious about this, there's a lot of chews that are out there on the market that are not particularly good for your dog, right?
Sure.
Rawhide and things, you know, I guess there are versions of rawhide that are unbleached and
I found I'm just going to give a quick shout out to White Oak Pastures who make rawhide without going through that whole chemical processing. Be mindful of what you put in your dog's belly, of course. Obviously, frozen Kongs or those West Paw Topple things are really awesome, too. And then you can get super creative of what you put inside. You could go really simple and just do like half pumpkin, half puppy wet food, a little bit of rice flour to thicken it up. Boom, done. You can also like think about textures. Like I sometimes like to go like, here's a little kibble layer, and then here's a little wet food layer, and then I'm going to put some peanut butter in it, and I'm going to stick a little thing at the top, right? So you can get super creative. And some dogs like weird stuff. I have one client who reinforces her dog a tiny little thing. I'm not even sure. She's like some kind of Chihuahua mix. Her name is Kangaroozy. She's awesome. With kale.
Kale. Wow.
Yeah. That is not our dogs. So those are just a few examples of food-based enrichment stuff.
Right. Okay. So what
else
you got?
How about non-food stuff?
Yeah, what do we got for non-food?
Let's go crazy. Well, we already mentioned toy play.
Yep. And there's a whole bunch of versions of that, right? Like some dogs want to tug, some dogs want to catch, some dogs want to chase, some dogs want to fetch.
Some dogs want to play keep away.
Some dogs really want to play keep away.
Chasing, right, with
right.
a flirt
pole.
Right,
some dogs want to get the stick and then have you run around after them.
Lots of things. And you can observe your dog with other dogs if your dog is a dog that plays with other dogs. Not all dogs can do that. And see what kind of activities they like.
Yeah.
And then you can base your toy play off of that. In general, I recommend having a tug toy, a flirt pole, potentially a ball. I don't love tennis balls because they can get real slippery. And sometimes dogs, you know, like get them stuck in their throats. Not nice. I like the Holy roller balls. I'll link them. They're like little rubber cages. And you can also stuff another toy inside so they have to like dig it out. It's great.
Those Holy rollers are great because they're super squishy.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
fun.
Like, they're big and you can kind of get your hand around them. you can throw them to your dog and they can catch them mm-hmm. instead of it just mm-hmm. sort of like bouncing off their face like it would with a rubber, you know, like a kickball or something like that, depending on the
dog.
But
yeah.
But they can get their teeth around them and mm-hmm. they're not going to pop them or anything like that. Yeah.
We already mentioned long line sniffs,
mm-hmm.
super great. And if your dog is a reactive dog, right, has trouble with, I don't know, cars, people, dogs, I really recommend like business parks after hours because they get really quiet. Church parking lots when it's not Sunday.
Right.
And then the park behind the baseball diamond. Nobody likes to walk that far.
Yeah. I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking creatively about mm-hmm. places we can take the dog.
Because we have the dog.
Because we have the dog, and the dog needs enrichment per this podcast. And sometimes, you know, we have one dog who is not going to be comfortable being around people. So
yeah,
just walking out the door and taking a walk is not really on the menu for Ozzy most of the time.
Right. That's not an enriching activity for him.
Exactly.
For the most part.
So we got to go
find. It can be, but it's not, yeah.
And of course, what we haven't hit on yet, but is kind of a key enrichment activity in our situation
yep.
is the dog adventure, where you
take sure.
the mm-hmm. dog out on a hiking trail or a logging road or to, you know, a clear cut. And mm-hmm. we're blessed to be in a place where that's something that is feasible and something we can get to pretty easily. And that's a really big component in what the dog's, you know, what makes the dog's life
mm-hmm.
worth living, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I personally think that outsourcing that dog adventuring or off-leash hiking, if there is such a service in your area, is awesome.
Yeah, if it's within your means, that's that's a really nice thing for your dog.
Yeah. If you're in the Portland area, quick shout out to Dog Adventures Northwest.
Yeah, where you got your start.
Where I got my start.
As a professional dog person.
Yeah, I that was my first dog job. Adventured dogs. It was a wild time. We'll talk about it another time. But yeah, make sure that when you do off-leash work or even a long line hike, that your dog has the necessary skills to navigate that kind of environment. For more reactive dogs or dogs that are like, yep, they can see a person, they have the recall, that doesn't bother them. Logging roads, if that's something that exists in your area, can be really lovely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and of course, if your dog is just going to run over the horizon and you'll never see them again.
Don't let them off leash. Absolutely. For that social contact, a lot of people, of course, want to take their dogs to a dog park, but I would caution that dog parks can be good. Often they're kind of random, and you never know if the dog that's going to bite everybody is going to come in.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer to form a dog play group with socially appropriate other dogs.
Yeah, even if your dog has skills, you don't know about any of the other mm-hmm. dogs that are going to show up that day. And,
yeah.
you know, no matter how good your dog is in that situation, it doesn't mean that they can't have a terrible experience.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That said, if you are really good at reading dog play and dog body language and you know when the troublemaker is coming in, you can recall your dog and move them away, by all means. I've done it before
with my mature dog. Yeah, and a dog park does provide a thing, and it may be the best option for some people, you know,
mm-hmm.
that they're going to have available.
Absolutely. Just a few other things, cardboard shredding. Stuffy mm-hmm. shredding is great too. Go to like a place like the Goodwill, get some stuffies, cut those eyes off, and let your dog have at it if they
For
like
sure.
it. I would also say giving your dog adequate rest and comfortable resting spaces is super important for enrichment.
Yeah, one thing we didn't really talk much about with the snuffle box. Yes, the dogs enjoy snuffling around to find those treats.
Mm-hmm.
But a big part of the appeal can be the tearing up of the box.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So mm-hmm. when you're talking about tearing up the cardboard, sometimes a treat does not have to be involved at all. A lot of dogs
sure.
are going to be really happy to just be handed a cardboard box and go to town on it.
Absolutely.
For the pure joy of wrecking it, you know.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that's a part of their behavior that comes from nature, right? Like,
right.
They're tearing up that box like it's a gazelle that they've conquered.
Yes, absolutely. That is what it is. And another thing is like set up a little digging pit in your yard. Get a mm-hmm. kiddie pool, fill it with some sand or soil, whatever floats your boat, or dedicate like a little area in your yard to that and allow your dog to dig in there.
Yeah.
And if they dig somewhere else, just redirect them towards the digging area until they figure out that's what it is. You can even hide some treats in there.
Oh.
Yeah. Light massage and gentle touch can be very enriching for some dogs.
Yeah, sure.
Observe their body language to see if that is true for your dog. And I, you know, I would be remiss if I did not mention sniff spots.
Sure.
So sniff spots, which we will link, are, how would you describe it? You have a good way of describing it.
Yeah, they're basically an Airbnb for somebody's yard.
Yeah.
More or less, right?
More or less.
You know, so some of them are fenced, some of them are not fenced. Just like Airbnb, it's a service that people sign up to allow you to come and enjoy their little piece of property for, I think it's usually for an hour for a price, right?
You can rent it for longer or shorter.
Sure, sure. And it's a pretty popular thing around here. I think there's lots of different ones, and I think it can be as simple as a backyard in a residential area of a city.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like a farmer's field.
Yes.
You know, sometimes it's sort of a bigger rural property that's got trails on it and stuff like that. Or, you know, we've got some that we go to that are fully fenced, others that aren't, kind of depending on the dogs that we have with us and what their needs are.
Yep.
And it's just a place you can go where the dogs can really go nuts running around and, you know, having some experiences, but you know there aren't going to be any other dogs showing up, no other people showing up.
And if there are, they'll let you know. That's a whole, like, system for it. Yeah. So sniff spots are awesome, especially if you have the dog that has a need to run free, but you actually can't take them off leash due to, you know, maybe they're a bite risk or they're not great with other dogs.
Yeah, so. Very often when we're going to a sniff spot, it's because we're hosting a dog that has, you know, that is not capable of just going to a, you know, going out on a trail because something might go sideways.
Absolutely. Well, I feel like we've covered this. There's a TV show that has my name on it.
Oh, yeah.
We're watching For All Mankind, you guys. It's good. It's
really good. Getting into our TV shows in this episode in a way I hadn't
expected. Well, it's really late.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's TV time.
But before we go,
do
you have a quick tip for us?
I do. So here's a simple nose work game for your dog. Super simple. So all you need is either four or five like small cardboard boxes, or you could use some like saucers.
Okay.
Right. Or you could even just tear up some paper towels and you place them around a room and then you put one treat on each. Right.
Got it. Easy.
So your dog starts, and then you let your dog in the area and let them search. And your dog starts going, ooh, wherever these like things are, whatever it is, the saucer, the paper towel, the cardboard box, there are treats. So I need to pay attention to them.
Mm-hmm.
Once your dog gets that idea, and you shouldn't help your dog too much when they're doing that. Right. Once your dog gets that idea, you're going to put the treat near the object, but not on the object.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a nose work game, you guys.
Yeah. We do this nose work all the time. Dogs love it. It's
love
a good thing when we're just like at the end of the day and can't make ourselves take them to the dog park, you know, because it's raining. And by the way, the dog park, which we know is going to be empty because it's 11 at night, you know.
That's us, yep.
And it's just like, oh, we can't even. But what we can do is close up the hallway for a minute, hide some treats, then send the dogs in two or three rounds each. They love it. It's one of their favorite things in the world. And it very much, you know, fills their cup in a way that actually is kind of a surprising bang for buck in terms
it
of
is.
Like the effort and the time. And the dogs are just really gratified by the whole thing.
Yeah. It knows work is golden.
Yeah.
So give it a try. Awesome.
Okay. I'm feeling pretty good about this episode. As you say, it's late. We want to go watch our show.
Let's give a quick shout out first.
Let's do the shout out.
Okay, today I want to shout out another podcast, a friendly podcast, by the company called Pet Harmony. Pet Harmony is a great company that actually, I would call them the enrichment specialists. I would go that far.
Okay. I know what you guys are doing listening to this podcast.
I know, right? The podcast is called Enrichment for the Real World Podcast.
Okay.
And it's actually the same name as the book that the founders of this company wrote, which is called Enrichment for the Real World. It's also really great. And the podcast focuses on using enrichment to make dogs' lives better. And there are a lot of really, 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 really cool topics there. Often the format is like there's one interview with an expert, and then there's, you know, they talk about implementing that idea.
Okay.
So it's really cool. So check it out.
Cool.
Well, I think that's a wrap, no?
Yeah, what's that name again?
The podcast is called Enrichment for the Real World Podcast, and the company is called Pet Harmony.
I'm sure you guys can Google that.
Yeah, and I'll link all the things in the show notes as ever.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, let's put a pin in this one. Go watch TV.
Love it. Thanks so much for listening to the Reward Your Dog podcast. If you liked the show, we would love it if you could reward us by reviewing, sharing, and subscribing. All the good stuff.
We welcome feedback, suggestions, and questions, obviously. Please send these to Verena@rewardyourdogtraining.com or to our website, www.rewardyourdogtraining.com/podcast, where you can also learn about other offerings from RYDT. That's twice I've stumbled on
just
that.
Don't do that. Just say Reward Your Dog Training.
Yeah, where you can also learn about offerings from Reward Your Dog Training.
That's right. You can find Reward Your Dog Training on Facebook and TikTok as @RewardYourDogTraining, though I don't too much on TikTok, I have to say. There's a few golden oldies on there. And Instagram as @RewardYourDog. And don't forget to give your dog a cookie from us.
And folks, give yourself a cookie too. You've earned it.
Yes, enrichment for you.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
It's like an enriched dough. You know what I wish we were watching?
Oh, my goodness.
Show.
Yes. We have to wait till November for that one.
I'm sure we're all waiting.
We're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready for the Great British Baking Show. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
We're talking about dogs. Talking about you and your dog.